Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
It's the California Report magazine. I'm Sasha Coca. Wildfires are burning yet again in our state, and they're coming so fast, it feels like there's barely time to look back and check in with people who are still recovering from earlier wildfires, like the ones that began a year ago this month when 12,000 lightning strikes exploded across Northern California. In the Santa Cruz Mountains, scattered fires grew into one massive blaze, the CZU August Lightning Complex Fire. It scorched about 86,000 acres, and it burned almost 900 homes. It also burned Big Basin, California's oldest state park. And a year later, the fire is still smoldering deep in some of the roots and stumps of ancient redwoods. We've got a treat for you this week. It's a documentary from the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, who are also my first mentors and teachers in radio and audio storytelling. After those fires exploded last year, they started recording people's stories about what was lost and what's been found since lightning struck in the Santa Cruz Mountains. This documentary grew out of a collaboration they did with the Santa Cruz Museum of Art and History. People who lost their homes in the fires were invited to bring in artifacts that they found in the ashes and to have those things photographed by award-winning photographer Shmuel Thaler. They also got a chance to be interviewed by the Kitchen Sisters about the fire and to tell stories about their homes and their lives.
Was so hot. We just pulled a blow-up bed outside. We woke up and saw the skies illuminating. I've never seen anything like that. We couldn't sleep, so we drove down to the cliff to see those lightnings like a web show itself across the ocean. Was beautiful. The lightning was out on the horizon, then this huge burst of wind pushed us back. It felt like it was actually hitting us. It went from beautiful to eerie. Then we were like, we need to go home. My name is Tamar Ingber. I work at Pie Ranch, the farm stand. I lived on Swanton Road. The house totally burned to ashes.
My name is Steve Pizzo. I've lived up on Bonnie Dune for over 50 years. I'm a retired firefighter. Come Monday, I started smelling the smoke, and I ran into a friend of mine who was on Cal Fire. He looked at me and he just shook his head and he goes, it's bad. We've got over 300 lightning fires around the state. We're stretched thin right now. I got a bad feeling about this. Over the years of being a fireman, I was on the Lexington Fire in the 80s. I was on the Oakland Hills Fire in the 90s, but nothing like this. We've been in a 10-year prolonged drought. The ground cover was anywhere from 4 to 5 feet thick. That place hasn't been burned, really burned, since the 50s.
The first time I noticed it, I just walked outside like, it's 11 o'clock. It should be sunny. What's going on? the sky just started looking orange and orange until it got like black. My name's Abigail. We live in Wilder Ranch State Park area. My parents, they work in the fields. My mom was working up in Suwanton. She could smell the smoke. She could see the ashes falling down. And they were all wondering, like, are we okay here? Like, are we fine? Nobody was in control of anything. I went to Twitter, to the police station Twitter account. And that's how I found an app to show us how the oxygen levels were and how bad it could get. I was just wondering, like, should we leave? What are we gonna do? Where are we gonna go? The cops did end up coming to our doorstep. At least for me, I'm terrified of the police. Like, I know that they're there to protect us, but from history, it's scary. Being somebody of color, it's having the police in front of your door is like something you kind of never want to see. But luckily, they're all super sweet and nice. And what the lady who spoke Spanish, she talked to my parents and us. We have to go. This is serious. But we also had to let them know that we weren't the only ones living in this area. We have neighbors living in like RVs and where all the workers live. They told us that they didn't even know that we were here, and we have a mailbox and they don't.
Live News Desk monitoring a huge wildfire. This August lightning complex started on Sunday, but really blew up last night.
12,000 lightning strikes.
Boulder Creek, Santa Cruz Mountain Basin State Park. Bonnie Doon. It has been a night of frantic evacuation.
It became pretty cataclysmic quickly. The fire was picking up momentum to the point where it was burning 1,000 acres an hour. I'm Mark Hilkema, Supervisor of Cultural Resource Program, Santa Cruz District State Parks. CAL FIRE, they had their trucks parked in front of our historic structures, Big Basin State Park. They were hosing, you know, the big trees, like the Otto tree, which was now looking like a furnace, bright red. Our historic structures, they sprayed water on it, kept spraying it, till the paint started blistering on their vehicles. They had to get out. As soon as they turned the hoses off, the buildings exploded. All of the buildings were consumed.
I was called to go over to our state park headquarters in Henry Cowell up in Felton. We have an archaeology lab there. My name is Martin Rizzo Martinez, state park historian for the Santa Cruz District. We started packing up box after box of artifacts, historical objects, mortars, arrowheads. There's been archaeology going on in the Santa Cruz Mountains for the last 100 years. And this includes some remains that we've been talking with the tribes to repatriate and things that are really important, irreplaceable.
We have another historic core called Cascade Ranch at Andy Nuevo State Park. I was there as the fire was coming down the canyon towards it. That night, our resource crew fought that fire there till they ran out of water. All the old growth cypress trees, the cookhouse, the bunkhouse, a huge old growth redwood barn, it all lit. One house was spared. That's where we've been housing the Amamutsin tribe. We have a partnership with the Amamutsin to do the land management with us.
Cascade Ranch, the fire came down very close. This is an old historic house that was built in the 1860s. There is some fire damage there, but it didn't burn down. That's where our people were staying.
We have a stewardship corps as part of our land trust, and they actively work on the lands every day to restore the coastal prairies, to bring back indigenous burning methods, to do the smaller cultural burns that could prevent those large catastrophic fires.
My name is Valentin Lopez. I'm the chairman of the Amamutsin Tribal Band, president of the board of directors of the Amamutsin Land Trust. We're on State Park's property, tribal territory of the Quiroste tribe, a very powerful tribe. The Quiroste took care of these lands 10, 12, 15,000 years or more. When those early explorers on the boats came by, they looked at the coast of California. They said that the landscape of California was just a beautiful mosaic of different colors, of different plants. But they thought there was just pure random. They did not realize that there was intentional stewardship of the lands that resulted in that mosaic.
Before Europeans came, the tribes here, they're manipulating the land by burning it regularly. By burning the grasslands, they both improved the seed harvest for the following year, as well as the browse for the animals they hunted that grazed on those grasslands, the deer, the elk, the pronghorn.
Our ancestors saw fire as being a gift from Creator to help in stewarding and managing landscapes. It also prevented the buildup of fuel loads that would result in catastrophic fires.
The Amamutsun are training their young people. They created a Native Stewards Corps to learn how to use the chainsaws, certified them in heavy equipment use, so we could beat down the poison oak and all this brush that's come in since nobody's been burning it culturally for, you know, almost 200 years. Trying to restore that traditional knowledge is our goal.
Before the fires, we had a place to stay at Cascade Ranch. All that's burnt except for the house, and it's not livable right now. My name is Eleanor Castro. I'm with the Amamutsa Tribal Band. I'm an elder out here with the stewards. Most of them come Sunday night. We have tents out here, and they work here, camp here, until Friday afternoon, and then we all go back to our prospective homes, Fresno and Madera area. We're all scattered. Our families can never afford to live here. All the colonizers who came here, you know, they called us lazy and diggers. Our belief is that Creator put us here to take care of the land.
This is the area where Portola Expedition, the first Spanish overland expedition, passed through in 1769. The Spanish described this big roundhouse there, a ceremonial house, like a dance house, that could fit 200 people in it. When they got up to that area, they were in bad shape. They were starving, dying of scurvy, and the Quiroste took them in, they fed them. They're describing these seed cakes with honey, berries, and seeds. Really interesting foods. There were plantings, there were fields, there were gardens up there.
I've walked in that area in my whole life. I went to Girl Scout camp up that road. I'm Dana Frank, Professor of History Emerita at the University of California, Santa Cruz. I've written about the history of Big Basin State Park and the history of California. That I would never have known that this was an important Native site says something about what histories get erased and which get remembered.
The Quiroste we know about through the mission records, they were the first to resist missionization. In those days, the Santa Cruz Mountains was kind of like very dark and, you know, mysterious to the settlers. There were grizzly bears there and redwoods and Native people still hiding from the missionaries.
Mission Santa Cruz baptized about 2,500 Native people in the 40 years that it was in operation. About 90% died during those mission years. They would get punished, put into stocks, whipped nearly to death, psychological torment. Fire was used as a tool of resistance by Native people. The adobe buildings were made with thatched roofs. Native peoples would use flaming arrows, fire arrows, as a weapon against colonial settlements. In Santa Cruz, they burned down a couple of the buildings. Right around that same time, 1793, the first prohibition of fires comes out of Mission Santa Barbara. There's a law that's put down, a circular sent out that says, you know, we prohibit Native people from lighting fires out in the woods. Fire became prohibited by Spanish, later Mexican, and then American eras too.
When the colonizers outlawed fire, that allowed the coastal shrubs to come into the coastal prairie. That would be followed by the Doug fir, followed by the redwood trees. It was just converted one of the most biodiverse landscapes in North America. Those plants represented our foods, our medicines, our basketry, our materials for housing, for clothing, for ceremony.
I am Gabriel Pineda, tribal member. I am the Squatabos crew leader for the Amamutsun Land Trust. Quiroste Valley, doing fuel reductions, we'll take chainsaws and McLeods and loppers, and we'll put chaps on, hard hats, then we'll say a prayer and then get to work. When we chop down the trees, we make burn piles, and then later on in the wet season, we go burn those piles. This work actually saved my life, really, to tell you the truth. Being out here in nature, and I was like in a dark place at a time in my life, and I wasn't the perfect person, but being out here is like if you're free, like your soul's free, like you have no worries.
Our tribe was taken to San Juan Bautista and Santa Cruz missions to build them. I want to say we were enslaved. They eventually released the tribe from the mission. Our homes were taken away. And at that time, the state of California was putting bounties on Native people. They were killing them, putting bounties. They wanted to get rid of us. Our ancestors, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, they didn't want to be killed. So they hid within the Mexican people. So we had to be Castros and Gonzaleses and Garcias so that we can blend in and wouldn't be murdered. You know, we didn't know our traditions and our culture anymore. We lost contact of who we were.
I'm 39 now, and I didn't find out till I was like 17. I was Native. I always thought I was Mexican. That's the way I grew up. My grandfather kept it a secret. His parents were both Native, and they told him to say he was Mexican. He had to hide his identity. My great-grandmother was Ama Mutsin. When I started learning more about my culture, it actually made me feel that I belong to something. The music, the singing, that's where my heart belonged to.
When I came back to see the devastation of the fires, it hurt me very badly, because being here on our land, it means a lot to us. But as a Native person, seeing these fires gives me hope for the future. The fire burned a lot of the invasive plants. We have our program, the propagation of Native plants. So this is a little bit of hope that our plants will come back.
You're listening to the California Report magazine. This week, we're bringing you a documentary about what gets lost and what is revealed when a wildfire burns. The storytelling duo, The Kitchen Sisters, recorded people's stories about the massive fire in the Santa Cruz Mountains that began last year in August of 2020, and about what people were able to salvage from the ashes.
Big Basin State Park, the oldest state park in California, one of the crown jewels of the Santa Cruz Mountains, is unrecognizable.
The visitor center, nearly 100 years old, is no more. The Nature Lodge, the Campfire Center, all destroyed.
The Big Basin I remember, this thing that I always loved, was this giant slice of a redwood log. You know, each ring on a redwood tree marked a year, and you could touch the rings and feel the passage of time and the ancientness of the tree. That log also had little date markers riveted into it, and it started with the birth of Christ at the center of the narrative, the coronation of Charlemagne, William the Conqueror, the Crusaders, Marco Polo. Columbus discovers America, Balboa discovers the Pacific, a landing of the pilgrims. It was an imperial narrative, celebrating conquest, celebrating slavery. Monuments express whatever values we have at the time they're put up, and then that narrative of history, it's in the air, it's normalized. When the fires happened, that redwood tree slice burned to the ground along with its date markers.
Fires can destroy things, but they can also reveal things. After the fire, going through and finding what trees are in danger, somebody found silver platters, ornate forks and spoons, antique ladles, falling out of three different large, hollowed out redwood stumps.
Hundreds of pieces of silverware.
Multiple mansions worth.
Tureens, coffee urns.
Candlestick holders galore, silver trays nested together.
The fire had opened up the root systems, and the weight of the silver had pushed down and started to flow out of the stumps.
Clearly, this is booty from somebody's heist.
I imagine that somebody somewhere still has some treasure maps with the little X marks on these stumps. Fires can destroy things, but they can also reveal things that would have been hidden. When I think of the whole round from an old redwood that has these dates burnt to a crisp, I think there is an opportunity here. The fire opens up some areas to reconsider the history and to tell it in a different way.
Talking about issues related to climate change and how important it is to restore indigenous sustainable ways.
It's the age of climate crisis and the age of being inclusive. The Coroste Valley Cultural Preserve, where we've been working with the Ama Mutsin tribe to manage the land, taking out the invasive pampas grass, beating back the brush. Well, the fire raged through there too, but you know what? It did not burn the valley. It went around it.
I brought my flute, and these two things are bombillas, which are the things you use in Uruguay to drink mate. And this one was mine, and this one was Rolo's, my grandson's. My name is Jennifer Cordery. I lived on Swanton Road. I'm from Uruguay. I've been in Santa Cruz for over 40 years. The house was in the woods, you know, with a creek nearby. It had a lot of great windows and light, which I'm a painter. All my paintings, all my drawings, all my art supplies, it all burnt down. You know, we've been back a few times with Rolo, my grandson. He was excited to be a little archaeologist and found things.
It's an old truck of mine that we found in Swanton at Tata's broken down house. It's probably a water truck or a gas truck or an oil truck, one of those.
You know, this is one of my grandson's trucks, which survived in a way. It's been hard for him. For him, he's 5 and a half, almost 6. My daughter would bring him in the morning and we'd stay till the cows came home. So for him, it was a place of freedom, of playing. And we had the creek and we had all his trucks and Legos and books and toys that all burnt. I just told him, I just said, you know, Swanton is burnt. The first thing he said to me, you know, something that can't burn, he said, it's the stories you told me. He says, and that can never burn. Swanton was a place, but the connection is with me, so the place is me too.
So this was my grandma's roasting pan from, I think, the 50s. These are my grandpa's speed skates. My name is Luke Bailey. I'm a park interpreter for Santa Clara County Parks. My house was in Boulder Creek, in the Memory Lane neighborhood. I brought several of the symbols that I evacuated with, the reminders of my values and what my dreams were before the fire. I put soil in a jar. Soil and madrone leaves and redwood leaves and, yeah, pre-burned dirt. The soil's changed. I learned from the Resource Conservation District that when the soil burns, it changes. The forest at home, this is the last thing that I'm worried about. I know that the forest is gonna be okay. I recognize that our landscapes evolved with wildfire. Mother Nature is resetting herself. That's what fire is. She is resetting herself. By its nature, it is a restorative process. To me, if I rebuild, I am left with the question of, is it responsible for me to rebuild in the wildland-urban interface? There's never gonna be guarantees, and that's what stops me. It's like, this is a low point in my life, man. This is trauma. Why would I do that again? And at the same time, you know, mountain communities throughout the West are facing this dilemma. If I could treat a rebuild as a project that could model how we can live in forests more wisely, I can tap into that hope because this place means so much to me. So I'm just holding all of it.
I first came to Santa Cruz in 1990 after the Grateful Dead New Year's Eve shows at the Oakland Coliseum. So I was part of that traveling gypsy circus of deadheads that toured around with the Grateful Dead and had the times of our lives and fell in love with it. My name's James Baer and I'm a resident of Bonnie Doon, California. I do carpentry and remodeling for work. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, something woke me up just like not right.
the treetops were going like, you know, like a freight train. It was happening so quick, there was no evacuation. There was no coordination through CAL FIRE for the first two nights. It was just chaos. I didn't want to go into the mentality of taking everything because I also didn't want to like visualize or manifest the fire happening. The crucial thing is I have a vintage Karmann Ghia convertible, which I restored 12 years ago. So save that. And the last thing I did is actually I went out into my garden. I just sat for a little while, picked a few cucumbers and just, you know, touched the earth. And I was just like, I hope it works out. Sometime that night, the fire double backed and just took that part of our neighborhood. A long time ago, I got myself into a situation where I had to do some community service for the county. And that entailed working for Caltrans, picking up trash along the side of the road. And I found this Buddha statue just in the weeds. I found that buried in the ashes, and I don't know how it did it, but bridge of the nose and across the eyes, the head just melted and slipped off to the right side. I found that and I just started laughing. It's just like, well, that's what enlightenment is. You know, you get it and your head just blows open. That just brought everything of my 30 years of meditation and yoga practice into fully comprehending impermanence and how beautiful it is, because that's the only thing that exists. Impermanence. In the Karmann Ghia, I still drive it up to Bonny Doon on the weekends. 13-mile drives through winding, twisty mountain road with no traffic, or, you know, just turn on the Grateful Dead and let the wind blow on my hair, and just, it's joy.
Was the documentary What Fire Reveals, and it was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, with Grace Rubin, Brandy Howell, and Nathan Dalton. Sound design and mixing by Jim McKee, with support from California Humanities. Special thanks to photographer Shmuel Thaler, the Amamutsun Tribal Band and Land Stewardship Program, California State Parks, and to all the many people who shared their stories for this project. It's part of an exhibition currently on display at the Santa Cruz Museum of Art and History. You can also see a video with the photos and many more stories at californiareport.org. The California Report magazine is a production of KQED in San Francisco. Our senior editor is Victoria Mauleon. Susie Racho is our producer-director, and Brendan Willard is our sound engineer. Our team also includes Amanda Font and Hector Arzate. I'm Sasha Coca. Thanks for tuning in this week. This is the California Report magazine. Your state, your stories.
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts, because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.